It's 11:30 a.m. Eastern Wartime. This is WEAF, New York.
It's time for Brave Tomorrow, a story of love and courage. Written for you by Ruth Adams Knight.
And brought to you by the makers of Ivory Flakes.
Challenge of today, we build our brave tomorrow. On the road which leads to the famous Bar H Ranch, there has been a tragic accident. But unaware of that, Jim Holland is awaiting the arrival of his three guests. Courtney Blaine, who is coming to write an article about his job. Marty Lambert, who is coming to escape from the emotional problems which have been torturing her 17-year-old soul. And Louise Lambert, who has seen in this visit a resumption of her acquaintance with Jim Holland and her first relief from boredom since the quarrel with her husband Hal, which resulted in her staying on for a time in Dustville. Leaning on the corral fence, Jim is talking to Steve, his foreman.
I hope you won't mind all these visiting females too much, Steve. I promise to keep them out of your hair.
Well, if we've got to have them, I'll put up a brave front. Sure don't see any sense in it, though, boss.
You know there are people in this world who've never been on a Texas ranch, Steve?
I don't believe it. What are they living for?
Waiting for the chance, I guess. Well, they're all pretty sensible women, Steve. They won't give you any trouble.
Scream at snakes?
Well, maybe. But not at spiders.
Ride?
English saddle.
Gee, horse path. You wouldn't have an English saddle on the place.
Oh, they're going to learn cowboy fashion. One of the ladies is very young and pretty, Steve.
Female age and looks don't interest me one way or the other. I'll be polite to him if you say so.
I most certainly do say so.
What's the matter with the other two?
Not a thing. They're both charming. Miss Blaine may ask you a lot of questions about the ranch.
One of those inquiring dames, is she?
Well, she's writing an article.
About the ranch?
About transporting food for the government.
Oh, your job. Hope she appreciates how good you are.
Forget to mention it to her, will you, Steve? Just as a favor.
How could she write an article if she don't know anything?
What I mean is, soft pedal the personal stuff. She can write all she wants to about the number of pounds of beef it takes to feed an army, but I don't want anything dropped about the white felt hats I wear or the pipes I smoke.
Or the dames that think you're a motion picture cowboy.
Yeah, you let any of that foolishness drop.
Okay, boss, I'm mum as an oyster.
They might want to go out on a pack trip.
Hey, you got it bad, haven't you?
What do you mean?
Taking time out to convoy a bunch of women on a pack trip. I never thought I'd see the day.
I told you, Steve, I'm tired. Too tired to do my job. Getting out in the ranch is the only thing that helps when I find I'm groggy adding up figures.
And for Pete's sake, go be yourself. Nobody ever got any rest with a woman along, boss. Nobody.
Well, I'll see. I suppose if this place ever had a real Mr. Steve, you'd just start off down the road and never come back.
This place?
Yes.
Real mistress?
Yes.
You wouldn't be thinking of that, would you?
I might someday. I've lived out here alone a long time.
Alone?
Yes.
You got me, ain't you? You got the best bunch of cowhands in the Southwest. You got Emmy to keep house for you. What more could you want?
I don't know. I never thought a man wanted anything more, but lately, Steve, I've considered the matter of getting married.
Yeah. Boss, he just ain't.
Well, nothing definite, you understand. I wouldn't even dare think about it until I have your blessing.
Well, you sure ain't got it, nor any prospects.
Do you mean you wouldn't like it?
Wouldn't like it? Now, listen. I've been foreman here for you ever since you was a buck and colt, Mr. Holland. I run this place for you like I run it for your father before you. He's old enough to take over yourself. I'm going right on doing it, too. Putting up with all your newfangled notions, letting you bring in all sorts of fancy stock no regular ranch man ever hears of.
Well, they've done all right, haven't they?
Yeah, done all right, but it ain't legitimate. It ain't according to rules. But I stood for it. Sometimes I think the place looks more like a museum than a ranch. I'm taking care of everything for you since you went galloping off to the wars, too.
I know you have. I owe you more than I can ever say, Steve.
You owe me nothing. Only don't go bringing any females onto the place to stay, or I'm through.
Well, of course, if you feel that strongly about it.
Yeah. Got ideas about one of these coming down here today?
Oh, this is business, Steve. And an attempt to give a lady a little vacation out of Dustville.
She's staying there. She needs one, all right.
So, you be nice to them all, Steve, will you?
You won't double-cross me? Get to imagine you're sweet on any one of them.
Oh, I'm much too old and fond of my own ways for that, Steve.
They say those are just the ones. It seemed to me if you was going to get the marrying craze, you'd have had the lot earlier.
Like measles? Maybe I would have. I just always seemed too busy for romance. Too much work to be done.
Best break you ever had. I suppose you want me to round up a flock of rocking horses.
Yeah, three nice, gentle animals, please. I'll leave it to you.
Well, I'll go out after them, if you say so. But I'd never thought you'd come to this, boss. If you asked me, it'd been a lot better if you hadn't.
Jim Holland comes slowly up from the corral toward his ranch house, sat in a clump of scrubby trees and looking cool and inviting. The path near the house is bordered with cactus. The scarlet blossoms are flame against the grayness of the landscape and the vivid blue of the sky. Jim looks at the scene and draws a deep breath, a breath of utter happiness at the sudden sight of the beauty of this land he loves so sometimes gives him. Steve is right, he thinks. This is his home, his life, his family. He needs nothing more. Not even the companionship of a delicate feminine woman like Louise Lambert. Not even the gracious loveliness of Courtney Blaine. And yet, Jim Holland has to admit that the prospect of their coming has shaken him out of his usual, well-disciplined routine. He enters the house and goes out into the great ranch kitchen where Emmy, his cook, presides in undisputed authority. At the moment, Emmy stands at the stove stirring the bubbling contents of a huge kettle. As Jim Holland enters, she looks up and says,
"What time you expect this company of yours, Mr. Holland?"
"I don't know exactly. It'll have to drive slowly, of course."
"Yes. Well, I got the guest rooms all fixed up ready for them."
"Good."
"Gave them the ones on the west side, off the balcony, you know, like you said."
"Oh, that's fine, Emmy, fine. I want you to take good care of them."
"I'll take care of them, all right." "It'll do me good to cook for quality ladies a while, after all the fine eating I waste on these cowboys."
"I always appreciate your cooking, Emmy. Never waste it on me."
"Oh, half the time you don't know what you're putting in your mouth."
"Hmm?"
"Well, I got a little old pies out there cooling now. I'm planning to give them a big roast."
"Oh, that's fine, Emmy. Thank you very much. Well, I'll let you know as soon as they arrive."
"Oh, Mr. Holland."
"Yeah?" Yes, Emmy?"
"Is there one of these ladies that's extra special?"
"Why, no, Emmy. There's a lady and a daughter, and the third one is a writer getting material for a story."
"Oh."
"Why?"
"Nothing. I just hopeful."
"Hopeful? About what?"
"Mr. Holland, every time I looks at you, I think, now, why in creation ain't that man gone and got married long time ago like he ought to?"
"Well, you and Steve ought to come to some sort of agreement. He's violently opposed to any such idea."
"Much as he knows. You ought to have a home, Mr. Holland."
"What do you call this?"
"Well, this is just the makings. No place is a real home till it's got a woman what loves you in it."
"Well, I'm afraid this one will have to wait quite a while, Emmy. We've got a war to win first, you know."
"Well, after the war, Mr. Holland, you're going to put your mind to getting married then."
"After the war?"
"Yes."
"I don't know. It's hard for any of us to know what we'll do, Emmy. After the war."
There's that telephone again. Been ringing like that all morning."
"Well, I'll get it, Emmy. I'm going in. Give us a nice dinner now."
"Oh, you trust Emmy."
"Yes, yes. Okay, don't get excited." "Hello."
"Bar H Ranch?"
"Yeah?"
"Mr. Jim Holland?"
"This is Jim Holland."
"Mr. Holland, are you expecting some guests today? Three ladies driving out from Dustville?"
"That's right. What about, who is this?"
"This is State Troop North. I'm sorry to have to inform you that there's been an accident."
"What kind of an accident?"
"Well, their car went off the road, tipped over at the bridge turnoff."
"Good heavens. Are they seriously hurt?"
"We don't know yet. The girl's conscious. She gave us your name. We're trying to get an ambulance, but there's none available at the moment. Mr. Holland."
"Yes?"
"The wreck is much nearer to your ranch than to Dustville."
"Yes?"
"Do you have any sort of wagon or truck you could bring? These women have got to be moved."
"Of course. I'll be there as fast as I can get there. Emmy.
"Yes, Mr. Holland, what's wrong with you?"
"Call Dustville. Say there's been an accident. Get Dr. Carter down here immediately. Tell him it's an emergency."
"Accident? Where's any accident?"
"I'm bringing the people here. Steve and I'll take the truck. Emmy, get me a mattress and blankets and something for bandages. Oh, and the first aid kit. And hurry up about it. Someone may be dying. Steve!
"Yes, Emmy. Take the company dinner off the stove and get the bandages ready, and hurry. For a car lies overturned in the bottom of a Texas ditch, and someone may be dying. Louise Lambert or Courtney Blaine?" Requires courage. Out of the challenge of today, we build our brave tomorrow.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
WEAF, New York.